Dana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. And welcome to Happy Hour, another edition of Happy Hour on this Sunday morning. Frank and Barry here, along with the ladies, Jonna and Carol.
Who are you calling a lady? Man.
If I don't, I'm sitting close enough for you to backhand me. So yes, I'm just gonna go with ladies. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine.
All right, so we're back again with Happy Hour. We've got a fantastic guest coming our way later on. And Carol, I'll let you just give a brief what to expect from Dr. Max Gomez.
Dr. Max Gomez, he's one of our favorite people to have on the show. He is, if you haven't heard of him, you live under a rock. He's been on TV for 30-plus years as a 9-time Emmy Award-winning medical journalist, and he's just come out with a fascinating new book, Cells Are the New Cure, and he's going to be talking to us about some pretty exciting and fascinating breakthroughs about using human cells to cure and aid in the recovery of some serious conditions.
Really serious.
A stroke and diabetes, and absolutely amazing. And he's always fun and always has a knack for taking really complicated information medically and making us understand it easy.
Exactly.
It simple.
Yes.
And he's a lot of fun.
You don't have to worry about being intimidated by the conversation because you'll understand.
He is fantastic.
When he's done. So, Jonna, question for you. As you walked in here and looked like you really wanted to hurt Carol and I, how are you this week? Sunshine and cream, happiness and joy.
Well, for starters, it is so
cold. For starters, there's a list, Frank and Barry.
For starters, it is so cold in this studio that my hand is stuck to this metal mic base like the tongue in A Christmas Story with the kid who was outside on the light pole.
Better your fingers than your tongue.
That's true. Second of all, I am feeling very humbuggish.
Not you.
Yes. And I feel like I stole Christmas from myself.
It's not here yet. You have time.
And you're never bah humbuggish. That's usually my territory.
That's true. You're rubbing off
why,
on
do
me.
Do you know why you're bah humbuggish?
Yeah.
Did I say that right? I feel like that Hamburglar or something, the way I said it.
Bah humbuggish. Yeah, you got that exactly right. Yeah, I know why I am, because I made the mistake. I'm doing some house renovation, which, Carol, you know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
You do it all the time. You're in the middle of one, but not your house.
Right.
A house that somebody else is going to occupy. I'm not familiar. The only way I'm familiar with this whole process is because I watch The Property Brothers frequently.
Mm-hmm. And everything goes really fast on that show.
And usually pretty smoothly.
Yeah.
And everything looks great. And you never see the mess. I'm so stupid. I didn't realize that it doesn't really work that way when you're living inside the home that's getting the renovation.
Tough. Definitely tough.
So it started with one of my bathrooms, and that was like boof, mess galore, but it came out really nice. Took a couple of weeks, and that's another thing. On TV, it's all done in an hour.
Right? I know. They tell you like done in 4 weeks or whatever, but our minds process it in the 1 hour show.
Yeah. So in my mind,
over a glass of wine,
that wasn't going to take very long.
Right.
Took a couple of weeks, and then I moved straight into the kitchen reno, which began with the delivery of 27 cabinets that had to be parked in my living room for 5 days.
Oh, no. That's
five
right.
Days.
You don't have a garage or any place outside to store them.
Right.
Oh,
I had no place.
God.
So, but nobody, you know, and I know, listen, this is a first world problem. I get it. But it's still annoying. So now I'm halfway in the kitchen reno, so I have cabinets in, I have no backsplash, I have no countertop, which you do not realize just how much you use your countertop till it is no longer there.
That's right.
And this is coming from somebody who doesn't cook, Frankenberry.
Right. No, I'm just thinking,
imagine
where do you put your keys?
Well,
I mean, seriously.
More importantly, where do you put your coffee pot? You got to find a place. You got to find a temporary spot. All my dishware, silverware.
Poker table.
Out on the open, getting all dusted up. And then come to find out, so I'm in that state, and I'm all excited now, because I'm like, all right, backsplash and countertop, that ain't going to take no time. I could go to the mall, come back, that could be done. Oh, no.
Are the new cabinets in yet?
The new cabinets
okay.
are in.
All right.
And they look lovely.
Okay.
One door is missing because it's on, quote, back order, but I won't worry about that right now. But then come to find out, they're not even coming back to take the measurement for the countertop till next week. And then, there's going to be a 4 or 5 days.
Back up the struggle bus.
Up.
That ain't right. Who's doing the cabinets, doing the counter? That was poor planning.
It's all one-stop shopping.
Oh.
Yeah, so now I got to wait for that. Then I got to wait for it to come in. And
did
then
they give you like a plywood or something to put on temporarily?
Oh, no.
Oh, all right.
No, there's nothing like that. Mm. I'm thinking of like maybe laying down some towels or something. But here's the point. Like,
okay, go ahead.
I can't have people over. I can't have people over for eggnog. I love having people over for eggnog. My beautiful tree, and now here's the thing. I made up my mind today. I'm putting my beautiful tree up in the middle of the chaos. I don't care. I'm doing it.
There you go.
But no one's going to come over for eggnog. And that has me upset.
But you will have your counters in, I'm guessing, before Christmas.
Christmas is like 2 weeks away, Carol. Like, Christmas is right here. And I'm like, what the-
So, a lot of folks out there listening right now are saying to themselves, okay, so we understand that you didn't realize the process would take as long as it's going to take. But at the same time, why would you have started the process around, say, Halloween and Thanksgiving?
Well, she admitted her lack of, I don't think intelligence is the right word, awareness
foresight?
Of the process.
Awareness.
Awareness.
Actual real awareness.
Right.
My awareness is all from the Bravo channel.
Started the conversation out acknowledging that, yeah.
And plus, in my own defense, although I admit this is 99% on me, I ordered all of
in your own 1% defense. Yes, go ahead, give us it.
When I ordered all this stuff and started writing checks, it was the month of October.
I just said Halloween, October.
And it felt so far away.
How quickly in our world, the lives we live, does it go from Halloween until Christmas?
Faster every year.
It's like that.
And if you want it to go faster still, order a new kitchen and bathroom.
See? There you go. And that's when we get to the point where you whisper to Carol, it's only 2 weeks away, Carol.
So this is what we have to do as children. Have enough money and knowledge to order kitchens, because then Christmas will come really fast. Because when we were little, we couldn't wait forever.
So I'm just bah humbuggish because there are, you know, listen, I like socializing. I like having people at my house. You've all been
at
my house.
I like coming to your house.
And it's a lot of fun.
So you know what? It's actually cramping my style too.
Your style never gets cramped.
No, I like coming to your house.
Yeah, I'm totally cramping your style.
My lack of ability to come over.
Yeah,
it's affecting me now.
Yeah, you're bah humbugging her Christmas for God's sakes. I'm not worried about mine.
I'm screwing it up for everybody. So that has me a little bit down in the dumps. But I decided, instead of not putting the tree up until it's all, because what if I might not get done until Christmas Eve. I don't want to miss Christmas altogether. I'm putting the tree up. I'll deal with the dust.
It's all going to work out.
That's what's going to happen.
All right. I think we need to take a break, right?
We can, because we've got to talk to Dr. Max, and I'm sure he's got plenty to talk about for us.
Please stick around for this guy. If you don't have anybody.
He's the coolest.
He is so cool. He's so intelligent. He's funny. We're going to be talking about incredible, like, mind-blowing breakthroughs, medical breakthroughs using cells rather than medication to cure and aid in healing.
Looking forward to it. That is Dr. Max Gomez. He is on the way with Jonna and Carol. This is Happy Hour, and this is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And this is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. K104, Frankenberry here along with the ladies. And you know what? I've been excited about talking to Dr. Max again. But I haven't had a chance to talk to him 4 years now, almost 3 years.
Well, for you.
Yeah, so I've been looking forward to this.
Unfortunately, I'm good friends with him, so he bugs me a little more often than that.
No bug.
I love the guy. All right. Yes, yeah, so we have on the line with us, and you know what? Just get a little comfortable here, because we always ask for bios from our guests, and we almost always have to trim them down. And I scanned through Dr. Max's bio, and I can't possibly cut anything out.
So if you have to pee, do it real quick right now. Come back.
As you listen to what I have to say here, you'll understand why I can't cut anything out. So on the line with us, we have Dr. Max Gomez. He is one of TV's most respected medical journalists. He has produced award-winning health and science segments for network stations in New York and Philadelphia. Dr. Max has reported for Dateline, Today Show, and 48 Hours. Over more than three decades, he has earned, wait for it, 9 Emmy Awards, 3 New York State Broadcasters Association Awards, and UPI's Best Documentary Award. In addition to New York City's excellence in time of crisis for his September 11th coverage, Dr. Max has been singled out nationally for special award recognition by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and the National Marfan Foundation. Am I saying that right? Marfan?
Marfan, yes.
Okay. He was also named the American Health Foundation's Man of the Year. So you can understand so far, we can't cut any of this out. Now, Dr. Max Gomez has served on the National Board of Directors for the American Heart Association, the Princeton Alumni Weekly, the Partnership for After School Education, and the After School All-Stars. He also mentors undergraduate journalism and medical students and physicians who are interested in medical journalism. Noted moderator and speaker, Dr. Max has helped organize and moderate 3 international scientific symposia on stem cells, which is what we're going to talk to him about today, and cellular therapies, hosted by and held at the Vatican.
And that's all the time we have. Thank you very much, Dr. Max, for coming.
Almost done. Dr. Max is the co-author of Cells Are the New Cure, the cutting-edge medical breakthroughs that are transforming our health as well as our stem cells, the mysteries of life and secrets of healing, and the Prostate Health Program, a guide to preventing and controlling prostate cancer. Almost done. Dr. Max is an honors graduate of Princeton University, received his PhD in neuroscience from the Wake Forest University School of Medicine, and was an NIH, that's a National Institutes of Health postdoctoral fellow at Rockefeller University. Dr. Max Gomez, welcome to Happy Hour.
Wow.
I need a break.
You're killing me.
Holy cow.
You're the one that's gone, spent your life doing impressive stuff.
Your accomplishments.
Doc, that's enough for a dozen folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, my father would have been proud, and my mother might have actually believed all of that.
Yeah, I feel like a bit of a slacker, but okay, let's keep moving. So, Dr. Max, you have just recently released a new book.
Yes.
Which is?
And it's Cells Are the New Cure. And what that means is, translated, what that means is that I think that sometime in the not too distant future, you might actually, when you go to the doctor, get a prescription, not necessarily for a pill or a capsule or a drug, but maybe for a living drug, actually, you know, live human cells.
I'm getting goosebumps as you're saying that.
There's a joke in there somewhere. the idea is that cells, the rationale behind it is that cells are really smart and smarter than we are.
Sure.
You know, when we design a drug, for example, we come up with a drug, and that usually is going to, like, interfere with or alter maybe one or a couple at most biochemical pathways in our cells, right? Aspirin might block something, some other drug might block one enzyme in the liver that does something else, that sort of a thing. Well, you know, cells have probably a few, by some estimates, several billion biochemical reactions going on in them every second.
Wow.
And that's every one of the, you know, trillions of cells that we have in our body. This is all going on. These little factories are really going haywire all the time. And so cells kind of know what to do. If you put them in the right place, in the right situation, the right kind of cell, they know what to do, and they do what they know how to do best, and that's usually heal and heal us. And so we're going to talk, I hope, hopefully, about a bunch of different examples that does that. But it's everything from cancer to autoimmune disease to strokes to even anti-aging are all going to be amenable issues. I don't want to call them problems necessarily, with cells, with some variation on living human cells.
From the big picture, it completely makes sense to me. When you think about the intelligence that is programmed, or however you want to say it, within the human body, within every cell, I mean, I know babies are born every minute of every day, but the fact that 2 microscopic organisms can come together and the complete code is already within them to grow a person.
Yeah,
I mean, the intelligence at work there is miraculous.
It really is. And so in a way, you're absolutely right. What we're doing is harnessing that ability and figuring out how and where to put the cells at the right time, again, the right kind of cell in the right place, and they know what to do. You know, and again, it's about putting them in the right place at the right time. There was an example. I'll give you one quick example. There was a study out of Stanford University. The chief of neurosurgery there did this, and it was published not this past summer, but summer before, where they took people who had chronic strokes. And, you know, the conventional wisdom is once you have a stroke, whatever function you recover after the first 6 months or 12 months or so, that's as much as you're going to get. We know now that that's probably not entirely true, that you can recover some function afterwards. But anyway, generally, after about a year or so, whatever you got back, you're stuck with. So we had about, I think it was 15 or 18 chronic stroke patients who, some were in wheelchairs, some could barely speak, some had partial paralysis on one side of their body, that sort of thing, and drilled a small hole in their skull and doing something called stereotactic surgery, which means he kind of knew exactly where he was going, put a very thin needle down into the area of the stroke, wherever the stroke was, right, and injected generic stem cells. Stem cells came from not from the same patient. They came from some donors. There were two donors, I think, that donated the stem cells to all 15 or 18 patients. And within an amazingly short period of time, some of these people, a woman who was in the wheelchair was up and walking.
Come on.
Another one who had paralysis of her arm, couldn't move her left arm, could move her arm and wave it around. Another one could barely speak. I saw the video of these patients afterwards. And the woman who could barely speak is now speaking normally.
Wow.
And I believe got married and just had a baby.
Wow.
Dr. Max, I got to ask you an incredibly stupid question. So stupid that you're going to lose respect for me, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it
anyway. There
are
no stupid questions.
All right. So this stuff amazes me, but I want to know, what is the basic difference? Like, we have cells in our body, and our cells can get sick all the time. What is the difference between a normal cell and a quote-unquote stem cell?
That's not a dumb question.
Why are these stem cells
so
magic? Well, I feel like it's a stupid question, though.
Well, all right. So let's talk about, let me define stem cells for you, because that's really important, because people think automatically stem cells are coming from an embryo, and the only way you're going to get the stem cells means that you're going to have to come from an embryo. You have to destroy an embryo, and that's a big problem. They don't have to, and this is one of the big reasons why the Catholic Church is okay with holding these conferences in the Vatican, is that embryonic stem cells come from embryos, of course, right? And generally, in order to use an embryonic stem cell, you have to destroy an embryo. And so when I went to med school, we were taught that we're born with all of the cells. There was no such thing as an adult stem cell. We were born with all the brain cells and heart cells and whatever that we're ever going to have, and then we spend, you know, most of our college years trying to kill them off with tequila. So what? And, you know, and some of us did better jobs than others. So it turns out, and this was discovered maybe not much more than a decade ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago now, something like that. It turns out we've got stem cells. We keep cells that are stem cells in virtually every tissue in the body. They've been found in brain, in heart, in muscle, in blood vessels, in the liver, in, believe it or not, in fat. Fat turns out to have tons of stem cells in them.
I'll become a donor.
Lucky me.
I'll donate mine.
Yeah. So the good news there is that we can use those stem cells, and by manipulating them a little bit, treating them right, talking nice to them, you know, buying them flowers and candy, that sort of a thing, you can get them to do almost everything, virtually everything that you could do with an embryonic stem cell, so that you can now achieve pretty much everything you can with an embryonic stem cell, with an adult stem cell, without having to go through, you know, destroying an embryo and having all those moral and ethical issues there. So That's part one of the answer, Jonna, which is there are two. So this is what a stem cell is, and this is what allows this is the difference, rather, between an embryonic and an adult stem cell. And there are other kinds of stem cells. You can take an adult cell, a skin cell, and genetically manipulate it and turn it back into what looks like an embryonic stem cell, and get it to do almost everything you can with an embryonic stem cell. So again, we don't need to go down the road of using an embryonic stem cell. So what's different about that in an adult cell, a regular adult skin cell, for example, or a liver cell, is that's what's called a fully differentiated cell. That means it's already committed to being whatever it's going to be and nothing else. A muscle cell is a muscle cell is a muscle cell, and it ain't going to do anything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with a liver cell or a brain cell or whatever. A stem cell maintains the possibility or the potential to become a bunch of different cells.
Wow.
So it can, an embryonic stem cell, at least in theory, can become virtually every tissue in the body, right? Because it starts as a fertilized egg, becomes 2 cells, 4 cells, 8, 16, and so on. And, you know, those cells can then, each one of those, up to a certain point, once they get a lot of cells in there, they start deciding that some of those cells are going to be brain, some's going to be gut, some's going to be heart, some are going to be skin or bone. But adult stem cells maintain that potential to become a bunch of different types of cells.
Amazing.
And that's what makes it a stem cell, is that it has the potential to go in a lot of different directions.
You have such a gift, Dr. Max, of taking things that are so complex and making them easily understandable. But you are, no wonder you've won 9 Emmy Awards.
Well, thank you.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Happy Hour on K104. We are talking with Dr. Max Gomez, medical journalist and author of his third book, Cells Are the New Cure. And we are talking about breakthroughs in medical technology and understanding how we can cure things that we thought previously were never curable, not by medication, but by using human cells. Give us some other... Somebody's listening right now, and maybe they have a certain medical ailment. You mentioned the stroke, what it did for people who suffered strokes, and the remarkable evidence it showed. What are some other examples you can give us of how they've shown positive results of using stem cell therapy?
But let me take a half a step back.
Sure.
They don't have to be stem cells necessarily.
Okay.
Because what we're talking about in the book is there are a lot of other types of cells or ways to use cells that aren't necessarily stem cells. Stem cells are what everybody, you know, likes to talk about, and because they've got so much potential and it's really exciting. But you can take other cells and manipulate them or do things with them and get them to cure all sorts of things. Let's talk about cancer. There is a immunotherapy using human cells again, or manipulating or doing different things with human cells. Is the hottest area in cancer therapy right now. There were 2 types of human cell therapies that were approved just in the past 3 or 4 months by the FDA.
Wow.
And they're called, this was one for, it was for a type of childhood leukemia, the other one for a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in adults. And it's called CAR-T, CAR-T, CAR-T cell therapy. And what you do there is you take T cells. It's a type of, you know, immune cell. It's one of the white blood cells in your body that's part of the immune system. And they're generally the killer cells, right? That know, you know, they're the ones that go after bacteria and viruses and things, bad guys on the body. And you, if you have a T cell, you can take it out. And see, the problem the issue with cancer, I guess it is a problem, is that cancer has learned how to don the Harry Potter cloak of invisibility so that normally the immune system would see a cancer cell and say, you know what, you're a bad guy, and go after it and kill it. And that probably happens every single day. We probably make cancer cells almost every day in our body. But the immune system, it's called immune surveillance. You know, these white blood cells are out there patrolling. They find the bad guy and they go, you're out of here, and they bump them off. Somewhere along the line, a cell has enough mutations in it, or has the right combination of mutations that makes it A, cancerous, and B, allows it to hide from the immune system.
Wow.
Which is not all that, it's not all that far-fetched, because don't forget, cancer arises from our own cells, right? Cancer is one of our own cells that goes haywire. So it's going to, almost by definition, look a lot like the rest of our cells. So the immune system doesn't always see it and recognize it as a bad guy, and that allows it to turn into a tumor or become leukemia in this case. So what the researchers have done is they took the T cells, which can't recognize the leukemia, inject, put in, do a little genetic manipulation. Usually they use a virus to insert a gene in there. That so now the T cell makes a receptor on its surface, and that receptor is a receptor that allows it to find a similar, wow, you know, a complementary receptor on the surface of the leukemia cell.
Wow.
You follow me?
Yep.
You got it?
That is,
yep,
crazy.
So now these T cells now have the little markers that say, I know what I'm looking for. And now you put these T cells back, lots of them, into the same patient that they came from. So they're not going to be rejected. They come from the same patient. You put them back in. And now you've got what the military likes to call a target-rich environment. There are leukemia cells everywhere. And in the patient number one, Emily Whitehead, who had this, and she's in our book, she had what doctors estimated was several pounds of leukemia cells circulating in her body. They put these manipulated T cells, what are called CAR T cells, back into her, and they went nuts. And they started killing cells left and right. Now, the treatment itself almost killed her, and that's a sort of a sidebar that we can talk about later. But basically, the thing killed off her leukemia. And just this past summer, I heard back, and I saw some of the some of the video when she went back to her follow-up checkup at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, CHOP, they call it. She is now 5 years cancer-free.
Wow.
Incredible.
So essentially what you're doing is aiding the body to do what it's designed to do.
Exactly. They're giving it a little bit of a nudge or a push there so that the cells can do what they were really supposed to be doing all along. And by the way, at the time that Emily got her treatment, she was 7 years old. She's now 12. At the time she was 7 years old, she had failed two intense rounds of chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. She was dying.
Oh, my
and so
gosh.
This was literally a Hail Mary that came true. They have now done a similar kind of therapy, again approved by the FDA, for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It works in non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now, let me give you, because somebody who's been following the news will say, yeah, but it's expensive. It's really expensive. This is a one-time therapy, and for the children, this one-time therapy for ALL, it's called acute lymphoblastic leukemia, is $475,000.
Wow. Is insurance covering that, though, or you have to be filthy rich in order to
benefit? It's FDA approved, so that's kind of being negotiated and figured out. It's tough. It's complicated. Mm. The adult one is the adult non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, that's a bargain. That's only, I think, $360,000, roughly, somewhere around there.
It's on sale.
Right.
So, you know, it's really tough. But there are a couple of ways of looking at it. First of all, here's a 7-year-old who wasn't going to get to be 8 years old. Mm. And now she may very well be cured. Cancer doctors don't like to use the C word, and the C word's not cancer. Right. The C word is cure.
Right.
And one of the top researchers in pediatric cancer at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia used the C word with me, partly because once you put this in, some of those T cells become what are called memory cells. They remember what that leukemia looks like. So it's almost like a vaccine.
Wow.
If the leukemia starts to come back, there are some memory cells that say, oh, wait a minute, I remember you. You're not supposed to be here, and go after it and kill them. So if you've got a 7-year-old who wasn't going to be 8 years old, may now be cured of her cancer, she's got, 50 years at least of being a productive taxpaying member of society.
Right.
So you still got to come up with the money up front. I understand that. But there are a couple of different ways of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is, listen, anti-lock brakes were developed for Formula One race cars. Those are $1 million-plus race cars. Each one of them is incredibly expensive. Now you've got anti-lock brakes at no extra charge on every Kia, Hyundai,
right,
Volkswagen on the street.
You would think in theory, as they develop it, right, the cost should come down. Like anything that's
popular, right.
Right.
And also, but don't forget, if you know, you've got a child who's got leukemia and they go through several rounds of chemotherapy and hospitalization and complications and everything else, they're probably $100,000 or a couple hundred thousand dollars into something that doesn't work all that well. So that's another way of looking at it. So, you know, it's complicated.
Dr. Max, you have, I know, a limited amount of time with us, maybe a few more minutes. I would love for you to touch on, if you could, I remember from a previous discussion with you about joint repair. Didn't you share a story with us about how this cell therapy helped somebody with bad knees or actually regrowing tissue?
Well, there's a couple. I mean, the holy grail in orthopedics right now is figuring out how to regrow cartilage in osteoarthritis, which would prevent theoretically, you know, total hip and knee replacements. That hasn't quite gotten to the point where it's ready for prime time. There are a lot of people working on it and figuring out how to grow them, and with, you know, sort of mixed success. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. It hasn't quite gotten there. They've also used stem cells in a condition that's it's much rarer than osteoarthritis, in the hip, called avascular necrosis. Part of the top of the hip is dying off because it doesn't have good blood supply, and there have been some really good successes putting stem cells, injecting those into the hip bone, into the femur up there, and saving the bone, basically.
Wow.
But can I tell you about one thing, one other area that's really exciting, where cells, and then again, not necessarily, in this case, not stem cells, are potentially making a huge difference. It's in type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And this is already in what's called phase 2 trials. This is actually already showing promise, and it's being tested in humans. You can take T cells again. Now, T cells, it turns out there are a lot of different types of T cells, but the two basic kinds is the T effector cells. Those are the killer cells. Those are the ones that go around killing things. And then there's the T regulatory cells. Those are the cops that keep the T effector cells, the killer cells, from going nuts. You know, you don't want them to go crazy, because when they do, that's what's called autoimmunity.
Right.
That means those are starting to attack your own body. In diabetes, type 1 diabetes, they're attacking beta cells, the cells that produce insulin in the pancreas. And that's why you've got a type 1 diabetic. You're not making enough insulin, because these effectors of the T reg cells aren't keeping the killer cells from attacking your own cells. So what they've done is they've taken the T cells, the T reg cells, out of a type 1 diabetic, and just allow them to multiply in the lab. And so you start with a few million, maybe, and now you're going to put back a few hundred million back into the same diabetic. And it turns out that in the process of doing this, not only are you putting back more T cells, you're putting back better T cells, better T reg cells, because in the process of multiplying, they kind of wake up and realize, hey, you know what? I really should be doing my job instead of, you know, sitting eating donuts under the overpass. I can now actually, oh gosh, and don't give them my license plate when I drive up there. Now they wake up and they know what they're supposed to do. You put them back in and it looks like they control the autoimmunity.
Wow.
And they stop the autoimmunity. So now think about this. If you can do this in autoimmune disease and type 1 diabetes, what's next? You could probably do the same thing in rheumatoid arthritis, in lupus, in Crohn's and colitis,
maybe
in multiple sclerosis. There are dozens of autoimmune diseases that if you can get the T-reg cells to do their job, you might be able to stop all kinds of awful diseases. And these aren't stem cells. These are adult cells that you're taking out.
And all kinds
of stuff.
And reduce or eliminate the horrible side effects that often come with drugs that you need you have to do
something. Absolutely.
Wow,
absolutely. All sorts of stuff.
Dr. Max, really quick, because I know you have to go. What about, we're talking about therapy here using stem cells. What about prevention? Is there any role? Like, can we be really nice to our stem cells from the time we're young and they'll just sort of take care of business and we'll never need therapy? Like, eat right, do something?
Stop drinking tequila.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, eating right, exercising, and so forth, all of that makes a difference. Stem cells, in a way, you can use stem cells for rejuvenation and keeping yourself from getting old or from having some of the diseases. So that's, you know, it turns out that if you take old stem cells from, you know, an old guy like me and put them in a petri dish or whatever, or in a flask with young stem cells, the young stem cells rejuvenate the old guys. They put out some sort of chemical signals that tell the old stem cells, you know, wake up and, you know, get young and start dancing again. And they do. And now they become young, healthier, more active stem cells. And those are the ones that can keep our immune system strong, which means they'll prevent possibly heart disease and cancer and a whole lot of things. So there are these rejuvenating factors that you can get from young stem cells. So the trick there is you want to store stem cells while you're young, so that later on you can get them back and use them to rejuvenate. But it turns out that there's a very rich source of generic stem cells that may act and may do the same thing. Those come from human placenta.
I may have missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, well, no, they don't have to be your own placenta, Carol.
That was Jonna.
Oh, Jonna. I was going to say something about attorneys, but never mind.
go ahead.
There are millions of these that are born every year and thrown away every year. It turns out they can be a very rich source of generic stem cells. In the meantime, if we're waiting for that to happen, and there are some companies that are starting to try to use those, you know what the single strongest stimulus is for an individual to actually mobilize and make more stem cells and turn them loose for rejuvenation from everything from your heart to cancer to maybe even Alzheimer's? It's exercise.
I was going to say sex.
that can be a form of exercise.
Yeah. Exercise?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're doing it right. So if it's exercise, that might be why exercise, you know, we've always known exercise is good for your heart and your lungs, that sort of thing. Exercise also prevents cancer. Exercise looks like it helps prevent or slow down at least dementia, Alzheimer's. It has kind of these benefits across the board, and it might be that it's because they stimulate and turn loose your own population of stem cells.
Amazing.
So that's why exercise is so effective at doing all sorts of things. And like I said, most people don't realize exercise helps prevent cancer. So it's not just heart disease and keeping your lungs and heart strong. Everything else seems to benefit from some exercise. So there you go.
Dr. Max, you are fascinating. We always love having you. We're just wrapping up here with Dr. Max Gomez, medical journalist. He is the co-author of the recent book, Cells Are the New Cure, the cutting-edge medical breakthroughs that are transforming our health. The people can get your book on Amazon?
Absolutely.
Okay. You are amazing. We love you. Thank you so much for all you do and helping us understand and learn and everything that you do. Thank you, Dr. Max.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
All right.
Yes, thank you very much, Doc. And if people take one thing out of it, just take the end of it. Exercise.
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah. Absolutely right. Yep. You got it.
Very good.
Happy holidays.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Dr.
Bye,
Max.
Guys.
All right. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we will return. So just stick with us. K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
It is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol here on K104. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Wow, Dr. Max.
Yeah, love him.
What's amazing about him, though, is you can go in, like we said in the beginning of the show, don't worry about being intimidated by the fact that we're talking about a lot of science, a lot of medicine, because what Dr. Max is able to do, he is able to basically have you come out of this conversation. What are we talking, like 30 minutes?
I know. Yeah.
You know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
can actually, you know, now say to yourself, wow, this is actually very exciting. How come it's not happening faster?
Yeah. Right. The analogies he uses makes it so easy to understand.
Yeah. I've named my stem cells because of him. Yeah, I have. And I have, and speaking of ways to get healthier and live longer, I have 10 things you can do to live to be 100. But before we get to those, we need to acknowledge somebody here had a birthday the day after last week's show, Monday.
Wasn't me.
It was not you.
Nope.
And it was not me.
That
was one person.
Hold on.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh.
But it's okay because I like to celebrate at least birthday week, sometimes birthday month. So I don't feel like this celebration's late at all.
And you're one of these December babies, and sometimes the December babies get shortchanged.
As a kid, it always felt that way. And then, no, I was always treated equally. My sisters and I always got equal value of gifts and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part was if you wanted something, I had to wait all year for it.
Oh,
I want
yeah.
a lot.
Oh, that would, yeah, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
So I got you this okay. that I want you to open, and it's partly to make up for the fact that what I want to get you for Christmas is not available until February.
Oh.
Yeah.
It comes in a Swarovski. How do you say that?
Yeah.
Swarovski.
Yeah.
Swarovski. Say it, Frankenberry.
What, are you kidding me?
How do you say that?
I'm not tripping on a word like that on an early
Everybody
Sunday morning.
Everybody knows it.
It'll ruin my whole day.
Okay. Get my band-aided up finger. See, this is what happens. This is the other thing. This, you're hiring people to do your renovation.
Yes.
When you do it yourself, you have what you're dealing with, caulk and paint on my fingers as well as a band-aid.
Did you break a nail?
I think I broke a few. I'm a mess.
Carol.
But the house is looking great.
Back to Jonna's first world reactions.
Oh my gosh, Jonna Spillbore. This is beautiful.
So isn't that pretty?
All right. Anybody who knows me knows that I am a weirdo for pink.
Yes. Pink is her color.
If there's something pink in the store, I will gravitate towards it no matter what it is, and
like
then evaluate whether I want it.
Yes.
Yeah, like a moth to a flame. Mm-hmm. This is a crystal pink crystal. Absolutely gorgeous bracelet. Thank you, my friend.
And you're welcome. And what I'm loving, like these bracelets now, they're new to me. I love the clasp because the clasp continues the whole jewelry look. It's like a, I don't know what you call it. It's like a bolo tie, but it's a nice clasp.
It dangles and that, a little bit, and it's adjustable. This is gorgeous.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, because the matching owner doggy pajamas are not available until February, so you're not getting them. But what kind of BS was that? They advertise them all over the place, got everybody excited. You go to the website, it's like, ha ha, not for Christmas, toots.
They advertised a little too much, apparently.
Yeah, I felt the same way when I went looking for them.
Your cats wear pajamas, right. Frankenberry, right. And you buy them yourself?
His cats would wear pajamas. Oh, I didn't do that. All right, so you want to, how much, do we have like 5 minutes to?
We have like four,
you,
three.
What'd you say, you have 10 things that can help us live to 100?
You know,
now, I'm going to guess, by the way, that of those 10 things, I've probably, in the course of my 50 plus years, knocked at least 7 of those off the list. So I'm hoping that at least 3 out of the 10 can still work for me.
Well, ironically, the first one on the list is the last thing that Dr. Max talked about. So, if
exercise.
Yes, if you want to live to be 100, and not just any old exercise, the first thing on the list is run like your life depends on it. There's something about cardio that is very, very beneficial, and that's no secret.
I suck at running. I'll climb a mountain before I'll run.
But if you could manage 20 minutes a day... and that leaves you, do you get to the point where you're breathless, now you're making progress, and that's what you should do. That's number one on the list. Number two is eat the right colors. So you need to put more green and purple vegetables in your diet. And I'm trying to think of, other than eggplant, which is only purple on the outside.
How many things are purple?
What's purple?
Maybe cranberries count? Purple.
Grapes?
Oh, grapes. Yeah, there's certain, like dark green lettuces that have like purple.
Cabbage, that's what they say. So, yeah, so you're looking for broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. Reduces the risk of cardiovascular.
Frankenberry, just checking these off his list. I just numbered them all.
Frankenberry, so he hasn't done either of them.
No.
Number
we got two checks in the no column.
I told you, I'm only looking for 30%.
All right, all right.
I'm looking for three
yeses. You might get it.
All right,
you
might
get it. Number three, act like a squirrel. That means scamper freely through life and eat nuts. Frankenberry, I know you eat nuts.
Put that in the yes column.
Okay, yes, I do. I love peanuts, yes.
All right. Make sure you return your stomach to its upright position. Extra weight in your midsection is not good for longevity.
Where's the mark going?
Yeah, no, that mark's going in the no column, especially courtesy of my roid baby here. The steroids that I take.
I know, you know. Thanks for clarifying that.
But if you did more of number one, you would lose number four.
Go.
All right, this one's interesting. Be alert to what you can no longer smell. There was a study done 3,000 older individuals showing that if you could no longer detect or distinguish odors, you were 4 times more likely to die within 5 years.
Oh, come on now. And
I'm
what are you supposed
reading.
To do about that?
I
go back to scene 1, 2, and 3?
Probably. Okay. And stem cells. Okay. Number six. You can put this in the yes column.
I'll put it in the yes column. I'll take your word for it. Go ahead.
Laugh a lot.
All right, we're good there.
And you laugh a lot. We all laugh a lot.
You make other people laugh a lot.
But I kind of laugh like a sad clown sometimes, though. Does that still count?
That's all right. It
still counts.
Okay,
we
just checking.
We love your laugh.
All right.
It's like a chortle.
Seven, learn to drink tea the healthy way. You need to drink more green and black teas. Is that a yes or is that a no, Frank? Frank,
he's laughing.
I drink seltzer water, Gatorade, and beer. That's pretty much it.
All right, go.
Eight, be a giver, not a taker. Generous people.
He's a giver.
Give of themselves in many ways. And believe it or not.
Did you give yourself a yes?
Yes, I gave myself a yes.
It keeps you living longer. Fantastic. Nine, keep busy. We all are. Everybody at this table is busy.
Another check.
I'm halfway on that.
They have a warning for people who retire. People who retire.
He gave himself a half a point.
All right. But people who retire often find themselves dead shortly thereafter if they don't do anything to occupy the time. And number 10.
Now, you. Back to number nine there, the end of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Since I'm never going to actually have money to be able to retire, I can almost give myself a full one on that.
Put that in there.
Yeah, all right.
Forever.
All right, and the last one, and I hate this, don't binge watch TV. I love binge watching.
I can go. I'll give myself a check. I don't binge watch.
Every week, every once in a while, I'll binge, but not much.
But let me tell you what the problem is here. Every hour of TV you watch after age 25 cuts your lifespan by 22 minutes.
Ooh,
that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's like the number of commercials in that hour.
That's why you need to turn the TV off and tune into Happy Hour every Sunday morning, 7 a.m.
Get away from the TV. Right. Stick with the radio. Frankenberry,
nice stretch for reaching for the plug there.
What was your final tally?
I guess my final tally was about 5.5.
Great.
All right. Very
good.
All
right, 5.5. Now, before we go, by the way, I just wanted to ask you, because it is Christmas song season now, which is one of the things it'll continue to annoy me for the next, 20 days or so? But what do you think is the most recorded Christmas song of all time?
I buzzed in first.
No,
I buzzed in first before
I
you said that. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Silent Night.
Santa Claus is coming to town, followed by Baby It's Cold Outside.
What did you
Silent
say?
Silent Night.
All right.
I buzzed in first.
Yeah, you buzzed in first
wrong.
And you buzzed in first wrong.
God darn it.
Just in case you're curious, Santa Claus is number six coming to town. It's number six.
That was close.
68,000 versions of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Which,
see,
by the way,
that's not even the top one?
That's not the top one. By the way, that is one of my favorite Christmas songs. It's the Andrea Bocelli version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. But anyway, number one, you are correct on Silent Night. 137,315
different versions. She tried to cheat, and I won anyway.
Jonna hates
it. She looked at your sheet.
Jonna just hates it when she's wrong. All
right. I'm never Rora.
We're over time. Cut her mic.
And who do we have? I think we have somebody very cool next week.
Next week, we love her too. Anne Quinn is going to be talking to us about setting boundaries. Are people really taking advantage of you? And she's going to teach us how to set boundaries and feel good about it.
Yes.
All right, that sounds good. Jonna, Carol, thank you very much.
Frank
Another
Barry.
Fantastic show. Dr. Max Gomez, thanks to him for joining us and explaining science and medicine in a very easy-to-understand
way.
And we'll be back again next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, and we'll talk to you then. It's Happy Hour on K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.